welcome back to the podcast. This is going to be a bit of a off one. If I sound a little different, it is directly linked to the fact that I'm recording this in a bathroom right now. I'm also, I think, talking a little lower, but I think that's also because it's echoing. So for those who are listening, if you hear any echoes of my voice or if I sound louder or different, it's because I'm currently in a bathroom. The reason for that, why?
No flush.
Yeah, right. I'm actively going to the bathroom right now. And that's why it looks different and it's really bright. So I apologize for those who are watching and for those who are listening. So anyways, this episode, we have a few different things we're going to pivot to. And I just want to get right into it, starting with the first thing, which is I wanted to talk about Blender, which is this 3D modeling software that I use for fun, but it's a lot of fun. And I just wanted to talk about it because I think it's a lot of fun. And I'm currently in the middle of a new project that I'm nearly done with. I'll spoil it for those who are listening because I'm going to be posting it within the next like 2-3 days. It is a just like a little mountain, and there's a village at the bottom of the mountain with a bunch of trees, and I'm going to put some clouds, and it's going to look like one of those Himalayan type villages in like a snowy area. So, and that's it. It's just a fun little thing. The reason I wanted to talk about it is because I think it is, for anyone who likes Legos, I think Blender is like the final frontier for people who love like building with Legos, because it's everything you could have asked for with Legos, but on the computer side and more, because you can make things round. It doesn't have to be these square things. It's insanely fun. And I think there's so much to it that you can teach yourself, like I am, and really hone in on a niche if you want to, rather than going through the whole thing. Like, for example, you can learn how to build things only out of squares and rectangles and very hard-edged objects. Or you can learn how to build things out of round things. And then you could also learn how to sculpt, because they have a digital version of what would be clay. And you can make faces and people and things. And it is endlessly fun. And I think it's a wonderful creative outlet for someone like me who still enjoys something like Legos, but doesn't want to spend $45 building these massive things and then finding a place to put them. So I love Blender. And people, what's amazing about Blender is it's free. It's completely and utterly free. And it's a free version of whatever paid version of a 3D software there is. But what I love about it is there are people out there. There's this one guy I saw on YouTube. I don't remember his name. He is either in the process of or has made short films completely out of Blender. And they look like movie, like theatrical grade movies. So it's insane what you can do with such a free software. And and what I currently do on it is just for fun. And if it ends up being something that I can use to apply towards a whatever, a job, a this or that, sure. But the goal of it is really just to have fun with it and build a skill that I can mess around with for as long as I can. But
do you need a very new computer to do this?
You do and you don't. I think it depends, because I think you need a decent computer. So what I mean by that is when you go to Best Buy, you go and buy a computer, the guy goes, okay, what are you going to use your computer for? When you tell them, oh, I'm going to be just doing schoolwork, assignments, and PowerPoints, they're going to direct you towards a computer that has the processing power to handle that. If you have that type of computer, you probably shouldn't be doing Blender, because the computer is not designed to handle that kind of software, the processing, the RAM, the memory, the CPU, everything within it is not built to handle that level of work. Additionally, though, it's not expensive to get. Like you can get pretty cheap laptops instead of like full PCs that are pretty decent for Blender. At the same time, it depends on what you're building, because on this computer, I can build a lot, but there are still limits to what I can and can't build on this computer. And that's just because it has its limits. So do you need a special computer to use Blender? Yeah. Do you need like a very expensive high octane special one? No. You can get relatively cheaper, it's cheap for a laptop, but cheaper ones to use for Blender.
I can't wait to see it when I come visit you in a few weeks.
I know. I'll show you all the projects I've been working on. Since I've shown you the house one that I built, I've done what will be, when I'm done with this one, will be three more. So
this is not the kind of program where like you could make a hot valve or anything like that, right?
Oh, like 3D print them?
Yeah.
Probably not, but that's a good question. I don't know how Blender translates to 3D printing softwares. I would have to figure that one out, because I think you can use Blender and transfer the files to a 3D printing software. And if it transfers properly, you might be able to. That's a possibility. I didn't think of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure.
Make a pair of sunglasses?
Easy on Blender? Yeah, I can make a pair of sunglasses.
Oh, okay.
That could be 3D printed? I'm not sure. I don't know how the software from Blender transfers over to 3D printing software, because 3D printing has its own app or software that you then hook up to your machine that then prints the fucking thing. So
3D printers are very expensive.
3D printers are expensive, but they can also very quickly pay for themselves if you are relatively smart with them. Like you can, if you have the slightest ability to 3D model, and you go on Etsy, you go on eBay, you go on whatever shopping online center you want, create your own little store, you can sell painted and get a little paint, and you can 3D print whatever, little octopi, little teacups, and sell them and be like, here's whatever, $8. You know what I mean? And a real of plastic that you would norm that would melt in 3D print, let's say costs, I don't know, $500, because it's a big reel. $8 a cup, you'll make that money back in no time, and you'll pay off the machine. So it depends on what your purposes are for the 3D printing, or if you just want to, because you got that kind of stuff, you just buy it and have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. So you could make, being you're in the film business, you could make a film using this?
Arguably, yeah, I could. Blender is a free software I wouldn't say a lesser version, because even major films still use Blender for certain things. But it's a type of software, one of many, that is how you would create CGI. Things like the new Avatar movie coming out, how they look the way they are, you can arguably use something like Blender. More times than not, what happens in films is they will take multiple softwares, Blender, this, that, and this, and compile different things, because Blender is really good at doing water simulations, but then this software is really good at doing fire simulations, and then this one's really good at doing foliage and leaves and things. Mm-hmm. So they will build it on the different softwares and then compile it into a single film.
Interesting.
But yeah, Blender can be used to make a film. There's a older film, old for me, called, it was like a indie film called The Backrooms. And it was about this theoretical space in between space called The Backrooms. And it has a cult following, and it's sort of a creepypasta, like, fake story, but people believe it to be real because it's so believable. And it's this idea that you can glitch through, shall we say, the matrix, or your walls or your house, and like you would in a video game, you glitch through walls, but you end up in this liminal space called the backrooms. And it looks like, it's got yellow overhead lighting. It looks like office spaces where it's yellow-ish walls, carpeted, overhead lighting, but it's empty. And it goes on for miles and miles and miles and miles and miles. Hallways, turns, wall, like, it's not just an open space, it's hallways and turning and different rooms, but they're all exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And some kid made a indie movie about ending up in the back rooms. And he made virtually the entire film on Blender. He built the whole structure and then shrunk the camera down so that it looks like he's human sized. And is, quote, it looks like he's running through the back rooms. It's just the camera, he moved it with his mouse or like auto rigged it to move, but it's not, there's no one actually there. It's all CGI, and he built it on Blender for free.
Wow, okay. Very interesting. Yeah.
So that's it. That's all I had to say about that. I just was very interested in sharing Blender for anyone who is looking to find a creative outlet for people who like to build on Legos and Kinects and all those things as a kid. Blender is worth learning if you have the money for the computer or if you already have the computer. I highly, highly recommend. And if you're into NFTs and that kind of bull crap and scams, you can make 3D work and sell it as an NFT.
Yeah, if NFTs don't disappear, you know.
NFTs are highway robbery, and it's purely for money laundering. But for the people who are actually, what?
Non-fungible tokens.
Yeah, well, non-fungible tokens. But they're highway robbery. They're scams, and they're used for money laundering. There's no actual benefit to them. And they actually have an environmental harm, because the energy that's produced to mint these NFTs and sell them and all the crap is awful. So yeah, NFTs are awful, but if you're one of the few who are profiting off of them, 3D modeling is also a very beneficial way to make money. So go for it.
Okay. Well, let's swing over to two articles or two topics that I want to discuss that don't make me happy. And I'm sure I'm sure they won't make most of our listeners happy. The first one is from August 2nd, and it was on Google.
Okay.
And it says state with water shortages. Now, before I read the article, I just want to say something. In 2007, I was in Las Vegas with my wife, and we were having a great time. It was our 30th anniversary, and I hear people talking, and I got into the discussion, and they were telling me that one of the biggest problems they're going to have in the future is because the hotel scene was growing and more people going to Las Vegas, they were going to have problems with water shortages. And I said, well, what would you do? They said, damn, we don't know. We'd probably have to bring the water in other than natural ways into Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So that was 2007. Now, 2015, water shortage states, I'll just give you eight of them. South Carolina, Utah, Montana, Idaho, Nevada, California, Washington, and Oregon. 2022. Nevada, Arizona, California, Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico, and Mexico. And here's the article from Google. Lake Mead in Nevada and Arizona and Lake Powell in Utah and Arizona are currently at their lowest levels ever. Dead pool status would mean the water level in the dams was so low it could no longer flow downstream and power the hydroelectric power stations. And this is August 2nd, 2022. As the climate dries, the American West faces power and water shortages, experts warn. Now, I'm saying to myself, wow, 2007, in the casino and at dinner, I heard people talking about this possible, you know, problem. And that was 15 years ago. And now it's come to fruition. So badly that farmers are killing off their own crops out west, especially in Texas, and selling cows because of the extreme drought, because they can't afford the materials that keep their crops healthy, and the gas or whatever they use, diesel, for their, you know, trucks or, you know, what tools that they're using out there are too expensive.
Right.
So now they're selling off the cows. And July was the third hottest day on record for the United States. And this is extremely pertinent to Texas. Texas, which is a big cow supplier, is selling off the cows. And higher prices for crops and certain goods are causing this, I reiterate that. And the biggest problem can be now, again, hydroelectric power will be down. And since 2015, look at all those big new hotels that have been built in Nevada. And they need more and more water out there in Las Vegas. And we need to find the causes of the climate change and the control and just can't say, well, it's getting hotter. We have to decide what is causing this and what do we do? It's been 15 years. Are we going to have to find out how we change seawater into drinkable, usable water? What are we going to do? Because the way it looks, our Earth is going to, one of the biggest problems is going to be drinkable water in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could do without food for a while. You can't do without water.
Yeah, so it's something along the lines of like, I think it's like, if as long as you have water, I think you can go a week or might be a week and a half without food. Might be something in between that. Might be like 9 days or something without food, but water, you can't go more than 2 days. You will die. So, I mean, and also to respond to that, we know what the cause is. It's a bunch of people polluting the world and major corporations wasting resources because they want to make a profit. So we know the cause, and the problem is that too many people are falling into the trap of these advertisements, which is like, make sure you recycle, make sure you fix your leaky faucet. It's like, yes and no, obviously recycle, but at the same time, I think it's something along the lines of 70% of what you recycle just ends up in a landfill anyways, because the companies that are quote unquote recycling it can't actually recycle because most of the plastics that we have are not recyclable. They're single use for a reason. So they just end up being sorted out onto a landfill anyways. And I think people fall into this trap that they think by recycling or getting rid of plastic straws and all these things, like going from plastic cups to glass cups is what's going to fix the world. And though it may make a tiny speck of a dent, the problems lie with Sprite and Coca-Cola making plastic bottles, millions of bottles, and then Nestle and Charmin wrapping their toilet paper in plastic. Like, those are the companies that are at fault. The humans are not really as much at fault. It's the organizations that are pumping thousands of tons a day worth of plastics that are causing climate change, which is then in turn causing things like extended droughts. So,
yeah, you know what also gets me? We had a very big underground spill from one of the plants in Florida a few months ago that polluted a region.
Oh, Hawaii.
No, in Florida, I'm talking about.
Oh, I was thinking, I thought you were talking about the Hawaii with the military spillage that happened and it screwed up their water.
Wait, to my Camp Lejeune? No.
There was, I don't know if it was the beginning, I think it was the beginning of this year. The military spilled a crap ton of oil in Hawaiian oceans and was basically making everything undrinkable for entire towns of people, cities of people. And no one was talking about it because it was military based. And people were getting harmed because people were trying to talk about it. And the military was like, no, we're not going to talk about it. You don't get to know. So apparently, yeah. Anyways, you're talking about Florida.
Yeah. So, you know, I haven't heard that much more about the cleanup since then. And I tend to like to buy spring water, not, you know, water that's been processed. But now I'm starting to think maybe I'm better off buying processed water because you don't know the truth of the spring water.
Here's the thing. I need to do more research on it. But water that is overly processed and is lacking too much and it's just straight up distilled water can actually sap nutrients from you.
No, so mixing it. Distilled water is different than that type of water.
Not distilled water. What I meant was processed water, not distilled. That was the wrong term. Wrong term. You're right. But highly processed water. When you go to a store, it's spring water or what?
Like with a D. What's the water with a D that they sell in all in
Deer Park?
No.
Dasani.
Dasani. Dasani. So,
apparently, if water is too processed, like it's not spring water, if it's another kind, I forget the other kind that you can find at like a ShopRite or whatever, whatever the hell the other one is, it's spring water and something else. But it's spring water or processed water. And that processed water, apparently, if it's lacking a lot of nutrients, can actually sap nutrients from you. So though you may feel your thirst quenched, you are actually losing nutrients because you are flushing them out of your system because the water saps it and then you release it. And so you're not actively giving yourself proper hydration because you're hydrating your mouth, but bodily wise, you're not actively hydrating yourself. And
and a lot of the waters that they say you're hydrating yourself with, these fancy waters contain a lot of sugar.
I know. They add a lot of sugar and salt because that's how Coca-Cola gets you to drink it. Coca-Cola is like 80% salt. That's the same thing with Gatorade. That's why if you ever have a choice and you need like an energy drink, Powerade. Powerade. I had an emergency medical guy tell me that at Disney once. I nearly passed out from dehydration because I was too young and I didn't realize. And he goes, yeah, always drink Powerade because Gatorade is too much salt. And you are basically drinking liquid salt. You're actively dehydrating yourself. Though the salt, Though salt has electrolytes in it, drinks like Gatorade and Coca-Cola put so much salt in it that you are actively dehydrating yourself as you drink it, which is why it's so addictive to drink. Because even though it's a liquid, there is a ratio of dehydration that's occurring at a slightly higher rate. So you need to drink more and 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 more, and you're never satiated because the drink is designed to make you not feel satiated. So, but well, similarly, waters are doing that same thing with sugars and salt. And some of these other waters that are like $8 vitamin waters, and it's like, we have super power charged vitamins in there. It's fucking horse crap. Just buy spring water or the occasional like glacier water. Those are fun. But well, now, like,
yeah, now, I don't know about you in New Jersey, but in Florida, I could see a big increase in the cost of upgrade waters. You know, the
Smart Water, Voss Water, there's all types of them.
Yeah, but the cost of water is getting more expensive. And getting back to the article that I was talking about, because of the shortages of water out west, we're going to have higher prices on the crops. Probably we'll have a flooding of beef on our market. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a shortage of beef and the price is going to get more astronomical. So
well, that's good, because beef is one of the highest, is the hot, one of the highest causes of pollution in our current agricultural section of the earth. It is, compared to chicken, it's like beef is like 40% and chicken's at like 5% in terms of pollution. It's insane how much beef is a pollutant to the world.
Well, we'll see, because like I said, 15 years have gone by and they've done very little that the public knows to curtail this problem. So let's see what happens in the future. We'll watch it. Can I go on to the second article now?
Go for it.
Okay. This was in CNBC. And this is not just in New York City, but I'm experiencing down here in Florida, a lot of homeless, a lot of people can't afford housing. A lot of people are being asked to leave their present houses or on leases, and they can't afford their apartments. Before I read the article, you know, I have a big house here since your grandmother passed away. And I was saying, hey, you know, maybe I could save some money if I sold a house and moved to an apartment, like when we first came down here before we found the house. But all the apartments are more expensive than my luxury house, because are insane.
So I know, you'd sell the house and only be able to afford a year's worth of rent.
Yeah, here's the article. Why rent in New York City is out of control right now. It was by Beatrice Bajuelos Castillo and Mickey Tadwiwana on today. It's today's article.
Today is the 20th for those who are listening to this a week later.
But are New Yorkers willing to pay up? One challenge for renters is the requirement that they earn 40 times the rent when applying for an apartment, with the median rent in Manhattan around $4,000. That means the minimum income to qualify for an apartment at that price is $160,000. The median household income in New York City is $67,000.
Yeah.
Now,
mind you, hold on. That's median household income. Household. Yeah. That's not individual. That means you have two people in an apartment right now, or people living together, and they're mutually making $60,000. Just to, I wanted to clarify on that for those who are listening. that household is a very important term because it means that there are families and households that are 2 and 3 and 4, and they're coming home at $60,000 a year, which is
106. Okay, I understand.
That's their median income, which means one of two. I don't know. Does median income, is that before or after taxes?
Oh, let me just say what median income is.
Okay.
Mean income is average income.
Right.
Median income is the midpoint of what if you took what everybody needs to earn and put a dot right in the middle, that's the median. And the mode is the trend. Okay. So the median for an apartment at that price is $160,000, which means you have to earn 40 times, that's probably the gross, 40 times the $4,000. And it's probably a combined income of the family, because unless one person is going in there, he still has to earn 160. And we've talked about this before, because $67,000 is the median household income in New York City for one person. One person. So you have to have $160,000 to qualify. I mean, they'll look at your name and they'll say $160,000 40 times. And they use that to break down knowing what it's going to cost you overall for the, and it's crazy. Well,
and it's insane too, because there's, I mean, up and down the ladder, there's so many issues, right? The idea that some of these landlords and people that are causing these prices to go up don't need the prices to go up. They just don't want to make less than seven figures a year. Some of these people who are leasing these apartments out, when they were looking for an apartment, didn't even have to have a credit score. So like to demand 40 times the rent, 40, that's nuts, yeah. Right? 10 and times, 20 yeah. times, okay, maybe. Like, all right. And mind you, $4,000 a month in New York is average. That's not high at all for New York. 4,000 is average.
That's if lucky. You want,
what?
Lucky if you get a studio.
No. For 4,000, you can definitely get a studio for. You'd be damned to get 4,000 for a studio, because normally if it's a studio and it's nice enough, it'll be around 5. But 4,000 for two people is okay. You'll get 2 bedrooms, a bath, a living room, and a kitchen. That's sizable for New York. But that's like 4,000 is quite average. The high end, hot, like upper end, can go upwards of like 8 to 10 to 12 to 16. But like, I've got friends who live in Brooklyn and their rent, they're living with 3 roommates and their rent is like 800 a piece. You know what I mean? So, but mind you, it's, and this is always something I find interesting for people. They say, oh, it's cheaper in Brooklyn. Well, but how much is it for transportation and your time, right? Yep. Because what's it worth, right? If you are going to work every day at 9 a.m. and you're okay with getting up an hour earlier than you normally do because you need to take the train an hour early, that's fine. Good for you. Then what you're paying is worth the time extra you're spending, because that's an extra 2 hours a day that you're quote unquote at work, because you have to travel. Traveling counts as part of your work. But additionally, you got to pay for that transportation. So per year, how much are you spending on transportation? Because if you live in Brooklyn, but you've got to take a subway and then take either a subway all the way down, or if you're in a nice suit, you don't really want to get stabbed in the middle of New York subway because that's what's happening. You take a cab every day. That's a lot of fucking money. So that's a lot of money to spend per year. And if it ultimately ends up to be the same, you know, you're saving, you think you're saving $1,200 because you're only spending $28 a month on rent, but you're spending $1,400 in transportation, you might as well move to Manhattan. So there's, it's, the rent is absolutely ridiculous. $4,000.
And the landlords, they have the excuse, whether it's true or not. Well, the cost of oil is going up. The cost of diesel is going up. I'm paying more for services to maintain.
I don't care. I don't care who or what you are. A landlord is not actively a worker. They are sitting and collecting money. Unless they are building those apartments by hand, they do not have, in my opinion, I don't see any justification for landlords who own multiple places, right? I'm not going to talk about the small guys who own like a building and they're walking away every year with like $80,000 a year in profit, right? I'm talking about these main guys who are running Airbnbs and multiple apartment houses, complexes and things. And they're walking away with six plus, like over six figures. And they're like, oh, got to raise rent. It's like, no, you don't. You just want to make more money because your expensive lifestyle is becoming more expensive and you're not willing to dip below $200,000 a year.
I'll give you an example. If I wanted initially, let's say 5 years ago, to rent my house out.
Actually, you know what? We're going to take a quick pause and we're going to come right back because Zoom only allows 40-minute timers. So we're gonna pause for anyone who wants to take a bathroom break. This is a good time to take a bathroom break. You guys are only going to hear a split second difference, but this is a good time to pause and we'll come back in just a moment. We're back. Okay. Go ahead, finish what you were saying.
So let's just say my example, my house. 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I could probably have rented my house for $4,000 a month. Okay. And that would include everything except gas and electric and phone. Just gas and electric. Phone would be free. And I would have to provide, you know, the services to do the lawn and all of that. Well, I don't rent the house naturally, but me, in relative to what you had said about the cost of a landlord, his cost not really taking care of the house being, you know, excessive, just on me having this house and maintaining it, since the price of diesel has gone up and all the services that I have, these trucks, these people use diesel, I'm paying about $200 a month more just for services to cut the trees, to do the lawn, $200 a month. Now, can you imagine if it was a giant property that had to be done? And when I lived in Queens, I lived in a 15-story elegant building, and I was on the board of directors. It wasn't a cash cow, it was a co-op. And we had to make sure that everything was kept spiffy. And you couldn't wait and say, okay, I'm gonna save money. You have to, if you're not going to have like a rundown house where you're a slumlord, if you have a good property, you have to maintain it. Example, my lawn got bugs. I'm spending all this money on bug prevention, like $100 a month on bug prevention, and I got bugs. Now I got to spend $200 more to.
So, but here's my issue with conversations like that is those are genuine problems, right? Genuine problems. If I, being 24,
well, had just let that me sentence.
Go ahead.
Minus small problems, small property, big property that's kept well has bigger problems. That's all. I'm sorry. No, you're 24.
No, you're totally good. What I'm getting at is great. That I understand what you're arguing at. But if I said any of that, being 24 to someone your age, and I was making this argument to someone who was against me, they would say, just downsize. Just stop spending that money on stuff you don't need. Downsize. But
you can't go any, the rents are higher than the actual cost of owning the home.
The point I'm making is that's true, but people along your age consistently and regularly say, just stop wasting money. Look for ways to save money. Stop, handle the bugs yourself. Don't pay for someone to do it. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Learn how to cover your house in bug spray so you don't have to do it. You don't have to pay people to trim your trees. You can do it yourself. You're young and
can't do it.
Not to you. You obviously are different. I'm saying if some people would say that to me. So my argument is say it to them. And that's my point. The point I'm using to justify this is to circle it back to landlords. If they have a big, expensive property and it's this big, wonderful house and they've got to do bug spray and property management, downsize. Sell your house and find a new one that's smaller and easier to maintain, because that's the advice that I would get from older people instead of. But
that's foolish advice because.
Thank you. That's the argument I'm making is it's foolish advice. So it's foolish advice. So by that definition, then we shouldn't be having them raise these prices. I don't know if you see the connection I'm trying to make.
You mean people who own properties just should eat the cost because they're getting paid enough money for.
What I'm saying is if you are making $250,000 a year, $300,000 a year off of nothing but collecting paychecks from people who own renting units, who are renting units from you, and you have no other job and you are simply just collecting paychecks. If you were walking home at the end of the day with $170,000, right? Post-tax, post everything else, right? You're walking with like $170,000 to $150,000. And because of the rise in prices, you're now only taking home $120,000 to $100,000. Please, I don't want to hear it. Eat the price like that, because that's my issue. People like that who are still walking away with six figures or still walking away with a very comfortable lifestyle, 90,000, whatever, because they're landlords or not just landlords. I'm not trying to attack just landlords. That's just the pertinent conversation to New York. Because especially in New York, but specifically to New York.
Well, that's why we had rent control. That's why we had rent control in New York City. And
I know, and look how mad the landlords got.
Yeah, they got mad and they overwhelmed.
They got mad because they couldn't walk over. They couldn't go to five vacations. They had to go to four.
Yeah, we're in a catch-22 situation right now, where the proper thing would be okay. Even in my case, where I still can afford this house, but to downsize, you can't have no place to go to downsize. It's more expensive to downsize. So. Younger people have a problem because where are they going to go where even if they earned the median $67,000, let's say, a house, it says the median household income in New York City is $67,000.
Right.
That to me is, oh, at the poverty level if you're living in New York City. You know.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. So that and that is why you have a lot of problems occur where you have firemen, teachers, public servants cannot live in the areas where they work and just will quit their jobs because of the travel, like you had said, the expense of the travel and living elsewhere because they can't afford to live in the high rent or high income housing, or they can't afford to buy a house. So we have a lot of problems right now, major problems.
Yeah.
So
I agree. You know,
we have to address them. We must address them.
I would love to ask who's going to address them, because obviously the president's not going to, obviously our government's not going to, you know, but who knows. Without attempting to go too dreary, let's shift to some of our fun facts before we conclude this episode.
Yeah, give me a couple of fun facts.
Oh, you want me to give you some?
Yeah, I don't have any. I have nothing.
Right. I got it. Don't worry. First one I have is blue didn't necessarily exist for thousands of years.
What didn't exist?
The color blue didn't exist for thousands of years. So nowhere was it written in the Quran, the Hindu, Chinese. It wasn't written in the Quran. It wasn't written in Hindu culture. It wasn't written in Chinese folklore, Arabic, or the ancient Hebrew Bible. None of them mentioned blue. Obviously, the color was there, but blue never existed for them. Like, Egyptian blue was a color, but it never existed because it was considered a shade of green. But really? Yeah, colors like black, white, red, and yellow, and some other ones were colors. Like, they were considered colors. Red and yellow were separate colors, but blue to green were, it was just green. It was, blue was simply a shade of green. So for thousands of years, within all those major ancient texts, shall we say, blue never existed.
Wow. Would look at the sky and they'd say, oh, the sky is green.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. They would say that is a shade of green.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So just there's one for you. I've got more if you want them.
Yeah, let me hear a couple more.
Woolly mammoths were still alive when the Egyptians were building pyramids around 1650 BC.
Wow.
Woolly mammoths, like those fuckers that people describe when humans were first really going after it. Ancient pyramids, they were together alive at around the same time. We have Nintendo being founded when Jack the Ripper was still on the loose, which was 1889. Hmm. We have Anne Frank and Martin Luther King being born both in 1929.
Wow.
Here's another fun fact. This one's more political, but most textbooks will regularly put images of Martin Luther King, Anne Frank, and other historical figures that were a part of movements like Martin Luther King and other things of that time in black and white to make it feel like that the images were a lot farther away than they were, when in reality, those photos are originally in color. And I've experienced that firsthand in my own schools, but that's a common known thing that education system in America will do. They will regularly put photos in black and white of historical events such as Anne Frank, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and all these other major people in black and white in an attempt to make them feel like they were farther away in history than they actually were, as to help as to try and mitigate people attempting to try and want to revive it or recreate it.
Wow.
Interesting. I have a few more. Betty White was born 10 years after Martin Luther King and Anne Frank, just for physical reference to show you how close we are to Anne Frank and Martin Luther King, for those who learn about them and realize that they're actually not that far off from where we would be now. Betty White was born literally a decade later.
Yeah, that was terrible. She passed. She had a long life, but she was a wonderful lady.
Yeah, that's very true. So, all right, I got one more and then we can finish off.
Yeah.
The fax machine was invented the same year the first wagon crossed the Oregon Trail.
Get out of here.
The first wagon crossing the Oregon Trail and the fax machine.
Not the telegraph?
Fax machine. I'm going to Google it right now to make sure. When was the fax machine invented?
Because I remember with the Pony Express was killed when the telegraph was...
Alex Bain in 1843 invented the electric printing telegraph, which was the, shall we say, the infant to what led to today's version of the fax, but it was a fax machine, 1843.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the year the first wagon crossed the Oregon Trail. Obviously, like, the first recognizable fax machine that we have now was invented in 1964, but the technology and the original fax machine, 1843, the first wagon crossing the Oregon Trail and faxing were together.
Yeah. I wonder when the first toilet was invented, you know.
Oh, I can tell you that right now. Well, I mean, it depends on what you call a toilet, because you can put a hole in the ground and call it a toilet.
But like the one you're sitting on now doing the podcast.
Just to remind everyone that I'm on a toilet because everyone else is doing stuff. The credit for inventing the flush toilet goes to Sir John Harrington, godson of Elizabeth I, who invented a water closet with a raised cistern and a small downpipe through which water ran to flush the waste in 1592.
And he tried to get funding for it, and nobody would give it to him because they didn't give a crap.
Nice. Nice. That's there's no better way to end it than right there. So we will, on the next one, we will we'll give you a little hint off to the next one. The next one we'll talk about some date night stuff, what you can do and what's beneficial, yeah, and some stories with it as well.
Yeah, maybe people could send in some of their funniest dates or how they prepared for their dates and give us.
Yeah, that'd be really fun. If you are listening to this and you get to this end part right here, if you know me and you know me on whatever social media, message me and you can send me a little story of either how you prepared for or would prepare for a first date when you were younger, or if you're at that age now, or if you have a funny story of a date, you can tell us that. We'll keep it anonymous. We won't say anyone's names, and you can use whatever like placeholder names, or you can ask us to do it, but we will not divulge any personal information. But yeah, if you're listening to this, by all means, send in some funny date stories that you have, if you've got any. But yeah, that next episode, we're going to talk about how we would prep for first dates and how we handle first dates in their own right, and some funny stories as well.
Okay. So, okay, everybody, be well, stay healthy.
Be well, stay healthy. Have a good rest of your day, night, evening, whatever it may be. And follow, share, like, do all that crap. I hate saying it, but do it. Send it to your friends, family, and brothers and sisters, and tell them to go listen to it or watch it, depending on if you're on YouTube or Spotify. Also, I meant to say, if you don't like follow me on social media or whatever, if you go on Spotify, I will have a little questionnaire at the bottom so that you can answer the question and you can provide me with whatever, your email, and I can contact you and you can tell me your story, or you can put the story right on Spotify. So either way, or if you know my grandfather, then contact him and he can bring the story forward. But good. Until then, until the next episode, have a good rest of your time.
Peace out.